What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loot Bros Podcast. I'm your host, Resident Daryl, and this week we have a banger of a show lined up. Man, we've got some great stuff to talk about. I've got two wild and crazy animals wrestling behind me. Every time I hit record, they go nuts. And so it's gonna be a good one. We have finally finished the story. Cody Rhodes is the WWE Undisputed Universal World Heavyweight Champion. Super excited about that. WrestleMania was incredible. And we just got back off of vacation, off of spring break. That's why there was no episode last week. And being that this is pretty much a one-man band these days, it's all, you know, I'm going to cover for me. So we definitely are behind the eight ball. We owe a show. I owe a show. So we'll make that up to you guys this week. But first, let's start things off with a toast. Because, man, we got a lot to be thankful for. So here we go. This is Loot Bros Podcast, guys. I want to give a shout-out to our Patreon producers. We got MZ Nitro, and we got Dad Wants the Gold, JT the Commish. Thank you guys so much for your continued support. Thanks to all the other patrons. Appreciate everybody. And we are super excited. I want to toast to WWE, the new era, the Triple H era. Cody Rhodes being the champ. This is so freaking awesome. WrestleMania was great. Spent the time with my boys watching it, and it was excellent. So here we go, and you can hear the dogs in the background celebrating as well. All right, guys. So here we go. We are finally back after a week off. We are getting back in the saddle. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of pickups. Lots of games. Lots. Oh man, all kinds of cool stuff. So let's get some housekeeping out of the way. So Resident Daryl on YouTube. Guys, go check it out. We're getting so close to 1,000 subscribers. When we hit 1,000 subscribers, we will destroy a boatload of Kinect adventures on the Xbox 360. We're launching a new series. Paxton and I have been creating a new game hunting series for the channel, and we kind of wanted to launch it around 1,000. There's two things we got planned, and we wanted to launch it around 1,000, but I think timing wise, we're going to have to just pull the trigger and pump out a video maybe in the next week of this dropping, kind of with this series, because, you know, some of it's a little time sensitive. So we got to make sure we get it done. So that being said, guys, go check out Resident Daryl on YouTube. If you listen on podcast services, you're just doing the Loot Bros Podcast, do me a favor. Leave some reviews, some Spotify stars, some comments on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it. Haven't asked for that in quite a while, and it helps. It really helps. Every time we get new reviews, every time we get new ratings, it pops up us up in the algorithm. So I'm going to have Gareth on soon. We hadn't been able to line it up, so hopefully that'll work out here in the coming weeks. Hadn't had him on in a while. Get that rarity trophy contest update. I've got it pulled up right here, and it's looking good, but I'm not going to spoil that. That's kind of his thing. I'd like for him to be able to break down and really go through it. But I will say this. I'm climbing the ranks, boys. I'm in fourth place, and I got my sights set. I am going after MZ freaking Nitro. So, definitely super excited about continuing this process. We're really enjoying ourselves doing the annual trophy rarity event. So, I want to give a shout out and a little bit of shout out. I like you guys know. We have a lot of podcast guests kind of come and go here on the Loot Bros. The Loot Bros Podcast is where me, Resident Daryl, I come here to talk video games with you guys. And the bros are the friends that I've brought on the show along the way. Originally, it was old bandmates. Okay. These guys have come, gone, circled around. Some of them have come back multiple times. They've launched their own shows. Then we had brought on the Game Stuff crew. Okay. We had Joe and Kali for a couple years. And then we had Will from the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast, formerly from the, I don't even remember what the old show was called. I don't know, some half-butt community, half-butt comedians, bootio podcast, whatever. And then we've had the madman himself, T. Diddy Thomas, the Hunter Houston Sweet Baby ESG podcast host. So we've had a lot of guys kind of come and go. We've had other podcasters, other creators on the show. We've had a lot of guests over the years. A lot of cool stuff. So very, very excited about their shows. And so what I like to do is I like to call those things out. I like to bring attention to them. Every now and again, we'd go on here, we'll talk a little smack back and forth, right? And so I listen to their shows, okay, in support of them as a good friend and a fan of these boys. I go on there and I listen to their shows. And every now and again, they're good. Every now and again, they're real bad. And I gotta take a moment to acknowledge the fact that the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast had one of the worst guests you could possibly have return on the show. Now, we have this little backdoor channel. Hey, you. All right, guys, we have a chat where we come together and we have conversation. And I pointed out the fact that the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast, which I love, all right, is dangerously close to becoming, you know, the internet hater podcast, you know, where we bring people on, all right, to glean their fans, to glean a little fame from them, to get the rub, as they say in the wrestling business. And then we send them away and we go, man, those guys really sucked. And, you know, you don't want to be that, right? You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that podcast that just kind of piggybacks off of the success of other people. And then when you turn them loose, you're like, we don't like those guys. They're not real collectors. They're filthy resellers. They're horny boy gamers or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. So I just want to put this out there, guys. I mean, it's a bit of an encouragement. All right. And this is my encouragement. Will, Big Willie style, I know you're listening. Okay. I know that you and Sean and James, that you guys like to get together and like to celebrate physical collecting, which I do too. I'm physical forever. But what I want to say is when you muddy the water with an internet troll like Heck and Steve, man, that's dangerous territory of just not being taken serious. Okay, you can't have some clown come on your show and talk about, I watch a little Heck and Steve every now and again, and sometimes I just feel like I gotta take a bath afterwards. You know, dude, man comes on, he's like, I'm gonna have Phoenix Resale on my show, and we're gonna have what is it, 1 hour, 2 hour powwow, or basically I'm going to bend the knee, I'm going to cowtail, I'm going to tell him how much that I'm a fake character on the internet, and then, you know, like, wow, I'm actually a fan of yours. This whole thing, this whole me being a heckler on the internet is supposed to be my shtick, my funny, my character. I'm a heel in the wrestling business. And then as soon as he gets away from the guy, he's not face-to-face with him via camera. He's like, oh, I didn't mean any of that. I just got to say that so they don't cancel me. Ah, now you're just a liar. Your character aside, you're just a liar. And see, so when you have somebody like that on your show, who then comes on your show, that's some ill choice words for your boy Resident Daryl off the rip. Opening statement of the podcast, okay? It's like, you got this guy on there, this old heckler, okay? It's like, there's no character, all right? This is a liar. Just somebody who can't make up their mind, you know? Transitioning, if you will, in between, am I a good guy, am I a bad guy? You know, it's 2024, you can transition all you want. So I just want to throw this out there, PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast. When you're ready to have a real, honest, true blood guest, like an actual content creator that matters, somebody who can put the shine on your show, okay, bring a little legitimacy back to the platform, just call your boy. Let me know when you're ready. I'll come back over there. I'll give you the rub. I'll give you the shine, okay? I'll make your show great again, as they say. And you don't have to resort to bringing on dirtbags, you know, like Heck and Steve, you know, unless you just like that. Unless you know, that, you know what they say, right? You lay down with dogs, you get fleas. Maybe you just old flea-ridden dirtbag yourself. Well, I don't know. I thought maybe that's not the case. But, you know, you seem to really hate a lot of the good guys out there. And maybe it's a character. Maybe you're a heel. Maybe you did the old bait and switch and I didn't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. Fam? What do you think? Is Will a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he an old heckler, you know? Is he a filthy scumbag reseller? I think he is, personally. I think he's undercover. I think he's an undercover old scumbag. I think he rips off grandmas, pays $4 for games, pushes them down the stairs. Or so I've read. I don't know if that's legit or not. See, the problem is, when you keep company that, you know, flounders around, flip-flopping, transitioning, if you will, in between, I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy, I'm truthful, I'm a liar. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do with a liar, okay? There's one thing when you get on the podcast and you turn it up to 10, you turn it up to 11, okay? There's one thing when you take who you are and you just lean into it a little bit. I love to talk smack, you know, just like the rest of them, but I'll go on the Trophy Horse podcast and I'll talk a little smack. I'll raise the temperature a little bit. I'll shoot a line back and forth across the pond here to you boys over at the PlayStation 8 Dead podcast. I'll go back and forth. I'll go toe to toe with the madman T. Diddy himself. You know, he's got some real bad takes. Every now and again, he's got something good, you know, but I mean, most of the time his takes, especially the wrestling takes, whoo, buddy, they're bad. But we can't all be great. There's only room for, well, really one, and you know, you're listening to him now. So when you're ready to have the great one back on your show, okay, when you're ready to make your show great again, just holler. Or you can leave it as it is and continue to try to get the rub off of, you know, guys like Steve. That's fine. It's gross. But hey, that's your prerogative, okay? But I did want to address it. I do listen to the show. I did not finish that show. Who God only knows how bad it actually gets, you know. It starts off pretty rough. You know. But hey, every now and again, I guess you're entitled to have a stinker, okay? Don't have too many stinkers over here. We've had some stinkers before. Few and far between, as they say. So hey, I do want to give a shout out. Guys, if you're listening, go check out the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast. Don't listen to the Heck and Steve episode. That one's trash. But go listen to the other episodes where typically, every now and again, at least the other two guys, James and Sean, they've got pretty good opinions on some things. They buy games. It's cool. One of them, yeah, self-admitted filthy reseller. Okay. Scalped a PlayStation or so I heard. Gotta love it. Guys like that are good. They're keeping the industry alive, thriving. But yes, go check their show out, guys. Go check out the Hunter Houston ESG podcast. Listen to the gaming show if you like rants and Thomas saying a lot of really wildly inappropriate, crazy things. If you want really bad wrestling takes, you can listen to the Hunter Houston, you know, the Wrestling Tornado, the second show. That's where he and Joe, former co-host of the Loot Bros podcast, that's where they get together and have really, really bad wrestling takes where they come together, they praise guys like CM Punk, who's cancer to the industry, trying his hardest right now to be a real good guy, going out of their way to make social media posts and videos about how he and Randy Orton buried the hatchet and now they're going to lead the locker room together. Like literally trying so hard to be everything he wasn't. He's garbage. He's going to continue to be garbage. And then when guys like you, you know, the Wrestling Tornado, get on there and you ride his coattails, you ride his jock, so to speak, and you you know, praise people like CM Punk, it's really hard to take your show serious as all. But I will say, I continue to listen and support because I'm a good guy. I'm your friend, okay? A bit of a fan of your gaming takes, not necessarily so much your wrestling takes because they're bad, but you know what? Again, they can't all be winners. You want good takes, you come here to Loot Bros. You want to listen to Resident Daryl talk about the things that actually matter, games that are actually good, you know, wrestling, you know, takes that are great, usually predictions that are, you know, 60% of the time they're right every time. You don't want to go over there for, you know, you go over there for, I guess, it's kind of like a reality TV show, The Wrestling Tornado. You guys, You come to the Loot Bros when you want good quality content, television. You go to the Wrestling Tornado when you want a real bad reality TV show, okay? Or when you, like the podcast equivalency of Desperate Housewives, that's PlayStation Ain't Dead, okay? All right, guys, go check out our friends on those platforms. Go check out the Trophy Horse, you know? Well, Matt G, former co-host, notoriously bad takes on Jimmy Ryan. But hey, again, you don't go there for the good takes. Okay, you go there because they got the Loot Bros rub. All right, they got the shine. They came to me. They said, "Podcast Daddy, Resident Daryl, can you please show us? Can you make us great? Can you help us? And then we'll go to other places and we'll try." You know, I teach them how to plant the seeds. I teach them how to water it, how to make it grow. I teach them how to tend to the field, work the land, as they say. And then I send them off into the wilderness. I'm like, hey, now you got to survive. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Probably won't. Well, you know, you just do the best you can with what you got. So go over there, check out Trophy Horse, my man Tricky Mick holding it down. You know, if it wasn't for Tricky, there'd be no Trophy Horse. All right, he's the only real Trophy Whore over there. So, God dog it, go over there and support the man because he's doing everything he can to hold it down. But yes, I want to give a shout out to our friends, guys. Resident Daryl YouTube channel. Go check out our friends and their podcasts if you're looking for something fun. Those are three shows right there that'll get you, it might make you a little crazier, but there's some fun stuff out there. So definitely want to let them know that I'm thinking about them. I'm a little disappointed in them, but you know, sometimes your daddy gets disappointed in you. It happens. You still have time in this life to make it right. Let's talk about some games, guys, that we're playing. Being that I was off, essentially, for spring break, we were supposed to do a lot of traveling. We didn't do the traveling. We did a lot of home repair, a lot of home work, things around the house. And late in the evenings, played some video games. So I do want to give a shout-out to Patreon producer MZ Effin' Nitro. He and I played a little bit of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on the PS3 and had a really good time. Played for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Had a really good time. We're going to continue to chip away at some of those co-op missions. The special ops. Had a good time with that. Knocked out some trophies. Because of my newly found love for that game, we had a good time. I was like, you know what? I'll go for the plat. Why not? So I am currently 40-ish percent done with my veteran playthrough. So gonna knock out those. I'll do the multiplayer trophies with MZ, and I should secure a nice new shiny platinum for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. I hadn't got a Call of Duty platinum in a while. Typically don't stick with them long enough to finish them. You get the plats, but hey, I think we're gonna knock that one out. So played that one. Played some Goat Simulator 3. I'm getting closer to the edge. I got the really grindy trophies now, the collectible trophies. A couple odds and ends I got to do with that one. Playing it with the sun, playing it with my little man. So we're knocking that out. So we did a bunch of VR stuff. I had a ton of students come, you know, a bunch of kids from the youth group come over and stay with the kids over spring break. So we set the VR up, set the PlayStation VR up, and we played a bunch of stuff. And I got to show them the persistence in VR. The persistence, guys, first person space horror game, roguelike, you know, attributes to it. It's a good game. I really, really, really enjoyed it. Go check out the Loot Bros Patreon. Last month's deep dive, I went into the persistence. Really, really enjoyed that game. I highly recommend it. So I've been playing a game called Brotato. Now, this is one that I watched my son play. He told me about it, said it was on Game Pass. You know, we got a month of Game Pass, and I checked it out, and it's a pretty interesting game. Honestly, the trophies are very common, but it's kicking my butt a little bit. So I don't understand how it's got a 50% platinum rate, and I haven't even beaten a run yet. So either I'm just trash, or I haven't picked the right build yet, which is most likely the case. But Brotato, I think I picked it up for like $2.99, $3.99. It is a one button shoot 'em up. Essentially, you're this little potato, and you get waves and waves of enemies coming at you, and you know you have to survive, and you have to survive. I think it's 20 rounds or whatever, and they get increasingly more difficult. You unlock a bunch of power ups, multiple guns. You can hold up to 6 guns with most builds. I think you can get up to 12 with certain builds, but it's a risk reward build thing. So as you add attributes in one section, it takes away from them in another. I didn't expect to really dig this game, but you only use the left thumbstick. It's just a one-handed game. Hey, you. So I played through it a little bit. You know, just kind of, I saw him play it, and he's having a blast with it. And I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. And I started playing through it. And I was like, man, I actually really enjoy this. This is pretty cool. So playing the Brotato, and I was like, man, this is fun. I can get down with this. So playing through that one, got some trophies in it. Pretty stoked. Pretty much. And I think I'll stick with it. I think I'll go for the platinum. Seems like, according to the stats, it seems like it's not too hard. I've played it for a few hours, and I am not great at it, but it's enjoyable. And the fact that you can do it with one hand, like sometimes a simple game like that it's needed. You know, it's good. It's good to have. So I did platinum the complex and totally normal journey. I don't remember if I did that before or after the last podcast, again, because we were out for spring break. But I've been talking with a friend of the show, Jared, about some of these games. And a lot of these full motion video FMV games, these whales games, are getting PS5 upgrades. So some of them are paid for, some of them are free. So I started downloading them, and I really enjoy these games. So knock those out. Totally Normal Journey is, again, technically based off of the evidence found in this show and on the Trivia Horrors. We are qualifying this one as high quality spam. It does take an hour, you know, a little over an hour, around an hour to platinum. So took me an hour and 10 minutes to platinum it. So I'm going to say high quality spam. And so I knocked that out. We have a PS5 upgrade for it. It's a trash game, but it's wild. It's like an acid trip. It's weird. But apparently this group has made several games like it, and they're weird. So I think I might go down that rabbit hole and play some more of their weird trashy games. And I say trashy because they're just low budget and really, they're intentionally bad. Or so it seems. So, next up, you know, I put down Hi-Fi Rush for this game. Okay, guys? Alone in the Dark, 2024. Whoa, buddy. It is incredible. My game of the year so far, couldn't put it down. I'm playing Hi-Fi Rush. I'm like, this is great. I'm actually really enjoying this game. Alone in the Dark shows up at the house because I pre-ordered it, and I was like, oh, okay. Let's give it a shot. Let's go ahead and put it in. I really want to see it. I want to see the atmosphere. I haven't read a single review, nor have I even looked at the Metacritic on it. But I'm in comment threads and groups where they're like, man, I don't understand why the reviews are bad on this game because it's great. Like, I'm in these horror, there's a group where I'm in like these Resident Evil, Silent Hill horror collective groups. Okay. Tens of thousands of people in there. And they're like, every single person that's played the game in the group is like, dude, this is really good. I don't know what the reviewers are saying because this game is good. If anything, and this is my personal criticism, if anything, it would be that there's like, it's kind of light on combat. It's more about atmosphere and exploring, and it's got the Metroid. It's a Resident Evil style game. I mean, it's just crazy, crazy. And it's so good. I'm on my second playthrough right now. I've got 49% of the trophies. I am going for the platinum on this game. I platinumed the last Alone in the Dark game. This one is going to be in my list of plats. I love it. I absolutely adore this game. It is not a perfect game, but if I threw a number out there, 8 out of 10, that's just, well, as I was playing it, I didn't even beat the game yet, and I was like, 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. There's just so much charm. There's so much atmosphere. The story's really great. I'm going to do a deep dive on it. So if you're a patron, or you used to be a patron, or you ever want to be a patron, now's the time. For the month of April, I'll do a deep dive on Alone in the Dark. Hopefully I'll get the platinum this month. It's kind of all I really want to play if I'm not playing wrestling or, you know, really, I didn't even play Brotato since I got Alone in the Dark, I don't think. So I might play it today while I'm working. But yes, dude, it's just, it's freaking incredible. Alone in the Dark is so good. So Thomas, I know I said that this week I'd give somewhat of a review. So I'm going to give a brief, you know, 1 minute kind of rundown. It takes place in the early 1900s. It's in Louisiana. Voodoo and witchcraft are the themes. You choose between one of two characters. You can be this detective or you can be this chick named Emily. They're both looking for the same person. They're looking for Emily's uncle, Jeremy. He is in this this facility, very mansion-like from Resident Evil, but he's in this facility filled with just odd characters, very reminiscent of a Silent Hill or even a Resident Evil. We're definitely going over a minute. But you have to uncover where he's at. Like, they're like, hey, we don't know where he's at. He's missing. We got to find him. He's got to get out of here. He's bringing trouble. What is the trouble? That's a spoiler. So it is freaking awesome. Third person shooter. It's very pretty. I would say, again, I'm going to save a lot of this stuff for my deep dive. Very pretty game. Enemies were cool. It's not a monster closet game. You get a few enemies, you go a while without any. You get a few enemies, you go a while without any. You get a few enemies, you go a while. There's certain sections of the game where there's a ton of enemies, but it's a lot of what's about to jump out at me. And it just builds on that. So it's very cool. Very cool game. I highly recommend it, guys. This is a Daryl style game. This one is just all up my alley and I love it. It's one of the best games I've played in a long time. But it speaks to my interest. So if you listen to the Loot Bros podcast for any amount of time, you know what I like. You know, I like third person survival horror games. You know, I like a lot of story, you know, I like a lot of tension and atmosphere. Those are my favorite things, and this has all that. It's oozing with charm. It's cool. It's very cool. So go check it out. And Alone in the Dark. That is that's a banger. The last thing I've been playing, and I guess I only throw that out there because I like to end with like the main game, right? Like when I talk about the games I've been playing, I'm like, here's kind of like something I dabbled with. Here's something I maybe, you know, played, but I don't know that it's really okay. Let me back up. My favorite thing about gaming podcasts or when the hosts talk about games, okay, when I listen to video game podcasts, it gets me excited listening to the host talk about games. So that's why the Loot Bros podcast has always been a lot about the games. It's not a huge news show, and honestly, it wasn't until I went primarily solo that news even really became a thing. When we first started, Frosty, he was adamant about being a news show. And I always wanted something a little more evergreen because I like to go back and listen to certain podcasts. I like to go listen to their old episodes. All right. I'll give you an example. Podcast Beyond, when Greg and Colin were on there, and even before Colin was on there, I love to go back and listen to those episodes because of just how funny they are. And the anchor, the center point to it all is video games, right? So video games are fun and they're supposed to be fun. And I really enjoy listening to people talk about them, especially when they're passionate, they're excited about them. Because what happens is I would listen to the podcast while I'm working and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go play the game. I want someone to tell me more about the game. In a perfect world, I would do full podcasts about just every single game I played. And maybe I should, you know, I don't know. But for me, like I and the Loot Bros crew, anyone that's ever been on the show, at least in the past, you know, 2-3 years, I constantly said behind the scenes, I want to spend more time talking about the games Maybe we talk about less games. We just talk about them for longer, because to me, that's the most interesting part. You go to a, you're looking for a video game podcast to talk about video games. You don't go to a video game podcast to necessarily listen to them talk about their political views. You know, even though that's a very common thing, you don't go to a video game podcast to hear necessarily about recipes for good meals. Although what great makes a great podcast, in my opinion, is when you blur the lines on, like, what are you, you're here for games. That's the thing that kind of anchors us down. But like, we're going to also talk about everything else that, that in our life that's interesting. So you kind of blur the lines on what exactly this show is. Is it just strictly games? Is it comedy? Is it news? Is it, you know, is this more like a vlog style? You know, I guess it wouldn't be a vlog because there's no video, but like an audio, you know, audio, whatever, you know, podcast about the host's lives and things like that. And the thing that I've always wanted is just a podcast that just talked about games, just games, games, games. So typically when I do this section of the show, I talk a lot about the games kind of in the order that I think that they're the most important, I guess. And like the headliner would be, all right, here's the one that I spent the most time with that I think is the most interesting. In this case, it would be Alone in the Dark. But what is very special about this week specifically is my son and I went game hunting Saturday morning. Saturday, this past Saturday, was WrestleMania Saturday. So WrestleMania 2024, WrestleMania 40 was the number of it. It's 2 days. Like, it's been 2 days for several years now. So you have Saturday night, Sunday night, two different main events, two different cards. This particular WrestleMania, and this is going to go into other things that I wanted to talk about, but it was very much like night one affected and set the table for night two. Okay. So the deal was we were going to play WWE 2K23 while we watched WrestleMania this year. We didn't own 2K24. My son and I, my youngest and I, go game hunting and we stumble across a brand new copy, still sealed, of 2K24. And we're like, dude, that's, we got it for $20. That's a crazy good deal. That's why I hadn't bought it yet, because I'm like, an annual sports release, even though I love wrestling, wrestling is my one of my favorite things in the entire world. An annual release like that is going to drop in price. Maybe not in the first 6 months, but by the back half of the year, that's going to be, you know, $30, $40 game. And to me, by the time we get to it anyways, That's the price point. I try to buy my wrestling games on sale. I don't buy them day one. Not anymore, anyways. Not since, I don't know, 2019, I guess, when AJ Styles was on the cover was the last time I bought one. But no, that's not true, because I bought 2K22. I bought 22 when it first came out. 23, I did not. 23, I waited till it was $20 or $14.99 at Best Buy or something like that. So anyways, I say all that to say this. I don't play them. 2K20 was so broken and so bad, I just put it off. I actually didn't play 2K or 2000. Or I didn't play 20 until later in the year. And did we have a 21? There was no 21, right? They skipped 21 and went to 22. Let me see. WWE 2K. Let's see what we got here. 16, 18, 22, 24. Yeah, skip 21. 2K20 was broken, so they skipped 21. And we got like Battlegrounds and some other bullcrap, which sucked. I mean, it was a mobile game ported to console, and it just very much... It was fine. It was fine like a one-time through, but not. It's just not great. So then we get 2K22. 2K22, I buy day one, or you know, in that first week window or whatever. It was great. But we didn't really play it until 23 was out. Like, by the time we sat down and really started pouring hours into it, now I've got like 80, 90 hours into it. We waited. And so that's kind of the rules. Like, I'll wait, you know. Plus, we picked up 23 when 24 was announced. So it's like, now I've got 80 plus hours to do all the stuff I want to do in this one. And it plays so well. 22 was amazing, guys. WWE 2K22 was really, really exceptionally good. For 2020 to be so bad, And it didn't necessarily play terribly. It was so glitchy, so broken. It wasn't great. The story mode was pretty decent though. But 2K22 was really, really good. 2K23 just continues that on. We're in a good run of these games right now. So I'm like, there's no reason for me to go buy the newest one right now. I'm playing 23. And I'm playing 23. But then, so long story short, here we go. I guess the long story short, I told the whole story. Wrapping up the story, no pun intended, we found 2K24, brand new, $20. We're like, let's go. We got it. So now the plan is we've got two TVs side by side. We're going to watch WrestleMania on one. And then after the match, my son and I are going to battle out the same match, but on the game. Okay, so if it was Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes, okay, then we're going to play Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Then we got to just kind of like fight for who we want to be, you know? So we did that for night one. We didn't do that for night two. Night two, we just watched it. It was actually more difficult to play the game. Well, because we never finished the match in between matches. It kind of spilled over to the next one. But I say all that to say this. Typically, like the headliner of my list of games that I want to talk about would be Alone in the Dark, with the exception of 2K24, we got our hands on it right hours before we watched WrestleMania 40. So my son and I played WWE while watching wrestling. My oldest son came in, and his buddy who was staying with us, and we were having cage matches, you know, ladder matches, all this stuff, just kind of mimicking. Now, there were no cage matches on WrestleMania, but we definitely added a cage stipulation. And we just had a blast. It's a really fun game. It plays great. I'm just super, super happy with it. I love it. So I think it's a must play. But I am a wrestling fan. You guys know I'm going to mark out for the wrestling games, and we buy some of them, and they're different every year. They're different. And it's been a lot of fun. So 2K24 is really good so far. I haven't dug into any of the story modes. Apparently you get to relive 40 years of WrestleMania. This time though, this time I'll do the My Faction and My Rise and all that stuff while the servers are online. I'm actually going to try to go for the platinums on these, unless my faction and stuff is just so sucky. I do see, though, because I got the PS4 version, I do see that it looks like there's a glitched or bugged trophy right now. So the platinum has a 0% on PS4. So there is something wrong. There's a bunch of comment threads in the forums over here on PSN Profile saying a bunch of crap. So I'm just going to play it casually for now. And then we'll definitely, before the servers close, try to knock those out. Try to get us another wrestling platinum. It's been a while since we platinumed a wrestling game. I don't really know. I don't have any real aim or direction for my trophies these days. If something really sticks and feels good, I'll platinum it. If I'm in the middle of a trophy competition, I'll play a spam or trash game. I'm not seeking them out necessarily. If something's interesting, I'll go for it. But I didn't even platinum Spider-Man 2, so you know, I'm not going for everything. And just I've got 420 platinums right now. It's kind of at this point, I've got 10 or 12 kind of very, very close to the end for the next trophy competition, the GTTSC. So I'm not super just worried about trophies and platinums right now. Like I will almost only play games if I can get trophies, but I'm not like, you know, like right now that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 with MZ, that seems like it's going to be one of my next platinums. Alone in the Dark is going to be one of my next platinums. Let me move my mic. So I've got some in sight, but I'm not going to sit down and try to chase everything. I'll platinum Goat Simulator with my son, things like that. I'll probably try to platinum Brotato just because it's fun. But we will see from there. So now let's get into some pickups. So I already mentioned that I picked up WWE 2K24 for the PS4 sealed, and I'm super excited to have it. So I took the kids to this bowling arcade, okay, called Stars and Strikes. And we, for spring break, they had this gimmick, this deal going where you could get an hour of bowling, an hour or a game of laser tag, and an hour of unlimited arcade games for like $25 a person, right? Pretty decent deal. Didn't set the world on fire. There's six of us, so it wasn't super cheap, but we did it. We were like, hey, this is one of the things the kids wanted to do on spring break, so we're going to go. We're going to have a good time. So we went and did some bowling, and that was awesome. We did laser tag. I won, came first place, because I'm the laser tag king. I mean, on top of being, listen here, Will, okay? I know you're driving right now. I want you to turn it up, kind of really, really focus in on this part. Not only am I one of the greatest podcasters that has ever lived, all right, the greatest guest that has ever graced not only the PlayStation Ain't Dead podcast, but the Trivia Wars podcast. That's right, Triggy. You know it, and I know it. Not only am I great at those things, but I also go to these arcades, and I dominate, absolutely blow it out of the water. I'm the GOAT at laser tag. So we go in there with a crew, and I did something that I thought was funny. All right. So of course I won. I mean, it's not even a question. I freaking just dominated the laser tag field. And then when we were leaving, you know, my vest shouts, you know, high score, you are the winner, blah, blah, blah. And I like any grown man would, I quoted Grandma's Boy. And I said, oh, high score. What does that mean? Did I break it? And I kid you not, this little Gen Z, a little Zillennial, looked me dead in my face. She goes, oh, no, sir. High score means you won. You got the most points. And I was like, this movie probably came out when you were still breastfeeding. So I'm going to leave it alone. And I just said, oh, okay. Completely no sort of like, I freaking know what high score is. Don't you know who I am? What is this trash? But no, deadpan, straight face. Now I get it. And initially, I was like rubbed a little the wrong way. I was like, wait a minute. But realistically, you deal with so many stupid people in a public setting like that, that it's like, yeah, you know what? That's probably not out of bounds. Initially, rubbed me the wrong way. Had to make fun of her age a little bit. Walked off just like completely appalled that she didn't recognize me quoting Grandma's Boy. But then I was like, well, she was probably like two when the movie came out. Also, she probably has bad taste. And not knowing who Resident Daryl is from the Loot Rest podcast, I'm like, well, clearly you're uneducated, not very cultured. But all those things aside, you probably deal with not the brightest crayons in the box coming in and out of this place. It was slam-packed, and I'm sure I'm not the first person that said something along the lines of what does high score mean, even though my excellent choice of movie quotes was, in fact, it was from a great movie. It's a good choice, I thought. So either way, I threw that zinger out there, but that's none of that is what's super important here. We go and we play this game called Cruisin' Blast, okay? It's like Cruisin' USA, all right? But it's a blast. We play it, and you play a bunch of Corvettes. No, I mean, not Corvettes, Lambos. My son loves Lamborghinis. He thinks Lamborghinis are the greatest thing, right? So I'm like, okay. I'll go play it with you. Yeah, let's go. And so we go to play the game, you know, and we have a really good time. And I was like, man, that was actually pretty fun. Now, sure, it's the full car setup. You're getting the full vibration and everything, and it's a good game. Quite enjoyed it. And so I know that the experience like that on console is not the same. But I said out loud, I said, we got to get this game. Okay. The next morning, I bought the game. I found it for the same guy that I bought the WWE 2K with or for from whatever I'm trying to say here. I bought those from him. So $30, got both those games. Super excited to have it. I got it from the Nintendo Switch. So this will be a fun one for us to have and play. And when we travel, pop the Switch up on the big screen. you know, wherever we're at, play some racing. This is a good party style game that I think would be awesome. I don't know that it came out on PlayStation, but if it did, that'd be a really fun one to go try to get some trophies on. So I don't know if it plays the same way as it does in the arcade, because I typically don't pick up games like that, but that was one where I was like, oh yeah, totally cool, totally worth having. So picked that up and quite enjoyed, you know, I say quite enjoyed it. I haven't played it yet, but I'm just excited to have it. Like that was cool. I said it out loud, got it. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's the way it's supposed to work. Okay. So picked that up. Next up, I picked up a Mega Man X game on PS2. Haven't played it. I know that they're super, super valuable, but I don't come across too many Mega Man games in the wild. And this one was like Mission Conflict or Mission something. Super, super cool little pickup. Picked up that. And I picked up some bread and butter stuff yesterday, but that's just one of the random ones that, like, I don't come across those very often, you know. Mega Man tends to escape me, you know. And so I picked that up. That was pretty exciting. Anytime I can pick something up for the first time, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty dope. So I got that, and we ended up picking up, I swung by a GameStop on a whim and asked to see their retro games, and it's interesting because the GameStops in our area, some of them will have games like out and you can see it, you know, like Xbox 360, PS3 games. Some of them do not. So I went to one, and I picked up a couple games for a series that we're getting ready to launch on YouTube, so I'll just kind of leave that out there. But we picked up, went to another GameStop, and I picked up a loose copy of WWE SmackDown versus Raw 2007. Now you guys know, I've been saying for years that this is one of my top three favorite wrestling games of all time, 2007, 2011, and No Mercy. Those are the three best wrestling games in my opinion. SmackDown vs. Raw 2007 came out on the Xbox 360. In the PS2, there was no PS3 release. This is, I think, right before the PS3 came out. The game is awesome because you can. This is one of those random wrestling games where you can like push people, knock them off. You can run off the top of the Hell in a Cell, and it is stupid fun. The game has gotten more and more valuable over time, and now it's running like $31 loose, right? $36 or $37 complete with the manual. So this is a bolo, guys. This is a be on the lookout for this game. I picked it up on Xbox 360. I now have three copies of it on Xbox 360. So this one will be for sale. I'll put this one up on eBay. And just excited to have it. Just excited to come across it. I don't come across it very often. And I ended up picking it up for like $18 at GameStop, which is, you know, I'll double, you know, ish. I'll probably double my money or get close to doubling my money. And so that's cool, you know, but it's kind of one of those games to where if it doesn't sell, it sits in the collection. And if I die with three copies of SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, so be it. You know, it's kind of like, I dig it. I like that game a lot. And I like having it, so very, very excited to come across that one. So the last thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of abnormal of a pickup for me, I picked up the not one but two of these retro emulator game preservation devices. Okay, and so what's really cool is they're like Roku style, like Fire Sticks. Okay. And they come with, you know, PlayStation knockoff wireless controllers. They don't have a brand name. It just says it's weird. It says 2.4 wireless controller, but it comes with this thumbstick. Well, it's very interesting. It's bigger than a Roku or a Fire Stick, but, and it has 64 gig memory card loaded with 30,000 games and emulators on there. So it was like, okay, I got them on a really good deal. I kind of wanted to have something. Shout out to Thomas T. Diddy from the Hunter Houston Sweet Baby podcast. He let me borrow one of his little game preservation machines. And it had tons of cool games, tons of cool arcade games and old retro games and stuff on there. And I was like, man, this is neat. I kind of want to get something like this. I don't know, like, which one I want to get and what capacity, but I kind of want to get something like this, okay? So, I get it, and man, I am, like, thrilled. It is so freaking cool. I put it in our van because our van has an HDMI port for the flip down TV. And I, since I bought two of them, I ended up using three of the controllers, and the kids were able to play Super Smash Bros. On Nintendo 64, you know, traveling back and forth to Georgia this weekend. Freaking the kids were playing Blitz 2000. And just like fighting like crazy because one kid was kicking the other kid's butt and it was pretty funny. But man, it's just awesome. Tons of preloaded PSP games, NES games, Sega games, SNES games, just some absolute bangers on there. A lot of stuff I have physical copies of, but there's some stuff that you just don't see. You just don't come across. Plus a whole bunch of crap I didn't know anything about. And homebrews. It has like what it has NES hacks on there. So it has like homebrewed, you know, modified games or whatever. So I've only scratched the surface of seeing what's on this thing, but I bought two of them and I'm super, super excited about it, man. Like, this is freaking awesome. So glad to have this. I'm gonna play around with it. May or may not do a video on it, you know, like a YouTube thing where it's like, dude, pick this thing up, check that out. I know I'm going to do a short just kind of showing it off. But I don't know, but definitely I'll definitely post some stuff up on it, guys. Resident Daryl on YouTube. It was cool. It was just cool to have. And being able to play it in the van was even cooler. So it's very interesting. I don't know. And what's really cool is one of the most recent pickups I had. I got one of those Amberneck retro game emulators, gaming preservation handhelds, one of the really high quality ones. And so these come with preloaded with 64 gig memory cards full of ROMs that I didn't have, game preserve ROMs. So I'm going to be able to put other stuff on there without having to illegally source them. So it's pretty awesome. So I was like, man, this is really cool. I've got one for the big screen and one for the handheld. So that's awesome. I might actually play some things that are not trophy related, guys. Probably not, but it's cool to have. So, that's kind of the biggest pickup of the week, which was interesting because I picked up hundreds of games. I'm making videos today on hundreds of games that I picked up. And bags of media, Blu-rays, some VHS, actually, like old Bruce Lee films, and freaking just crazy Blu-rays and all kinds of box sets and just all kinds of stuff. Just I picked up hundreds of these items this weekend. It was insane. So, but the emulator machines were definitely like the oddball, the cool thing that I just didn't expect. So super excited to have it. We'll check it out. And be on the lookout for some videos on it because you never know. This might be really freaking cool. All right. I do want to get into some recommendations. But I also want to talk a little bit about wrestling. I briefly talked about it. I want to give like my breakdown and I guess overall impressions of WrestleMania. So real quick, just some quick recommendations, some things that I have been really digging lately. As far as TV shows go, I've been on this Storage Wars kick. So I think I mentioned several weeks back that I started watching Storage Wars. I picked up the first like DVD box set. I freaking marathon through it. Like, it was awesome. And then I was like, well, now I got to find, where I can watch more. So I went to Hulu. Hulu had season 1, 2, 3, and then like 9. And it was weird. And then they, in the middle of watching, I watched all season 2, started watching season 3. Then they added like season 11, season 15. It's just weird how it jumped around. It didn't have like in order all of the stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, that's, it's cool. At least I can watch some of it, but there's so many new characters introduced throughout the show that I'm like, I don't know who these freaking people are. So I was like, man, I don't know. We'll kind of see. But I've actually enjoyed, honestly, I've I've jumped around and I've really enjoyed it. But that being said, now I discovered Pluto TV. So it's set up like satellite. There's live stuff going. You can kind of have like your little TV guide style menu for all the OGs out there. And you can pick, you know, on-demand stuff, and it just kind of live play stuff with commercials. And then they actually had like three or four other seasons. So it's kind of like, well, I can watch 1, 2, 3. I can't watch season 4. I can watch season 5. I can watch season 9, 11, and 15, something like that. This past week, they added all but season 4 and 8 or season 6 and 8. It's missing 2 or 3 in the middle. And I was like, okay, it's a really weird way to lay everything out. But it's there. It's kind of cool. And I mean, I love the show. I absolutely love the freaking show. So I'm excited that it exists and excited that it's there. So I'm just enjoying it. I'm watching Storage Wars at night, you know, after, you know, once I lay down. And it's just been, I highly recommend the show. If I don't know if you're not into buying and reselling and all that stuff, that's fine, because this is such bull crap. Like, it's not legit. It's not the real prices for things. They pay way too much for these storage units that have junk in them. Even if you own a thrift store, it's not realistic. For somebody like me who's constantly learning and educating on the value of things, this is not only is it just so far out of, you know, it's old stuff because I'm on these older seasons, but it wasn't legit then. Like, it's totally a bogus reality TV show. So finding the items is not, and there's always this fake item that's in the storage unit that like is clearly planted there. So they have to go, oh, wow, this is a mystery item. I got to go get this appraised and checked out. So then they can have this whole thing. It's dumb. It's a reality TV show. Reality TV shows are fake. Storage Wars is not real. But man, is it fun to watch. So I am really, really, really enjoying it. And I highly, highly recommend it. Like, it's good stuff. So definitely go check it out, guys. Storage Wars. It's on Pluto. Pluto is free. I'm recommending it because it's free. It's super, super cool. As far as music goes, I haven't really ventured out too much lately. There's some new stuff out, but really I've been stuck on Spoken's new album, which I think I've already talked about, and 7 Day Slumber's new album, which I also have talked about. They're both really freaking good. I can't turn them off. Like, that's just what I've been listening to. And then of course the normal Star Set. So, you know, definitely, you know, I still recommend those, but I got nothing new to talk about. And I've been sent albums, and I know stuff's come out, and I've seen my release radar, but I'm in the zone with these specific albums right now. So definitely still enjoying those. And then the last thing, I watched a movie with the kids the other night, and it was really good. And my son read the book. And, you know, he was like, Dad, I really want to watch this as a family. I said, let's go. We watched it. It is called The Fifth Wave. You've probably already heard of it. Maybe you've already seen it. It's an interesting movie. It was good. So I think it's a post-apocalyptic style movie, but not like, it was good. I quite enjoyed it. Go check it out. The Fifth Wave. I own it. We actually bought it while we were out game hunting. And like I said, my son just finished the book. So I don't know the best place to go watch it. I didn't look it up, but I highly recommend it. And I've been trying my hardest to, again, like I mentioned in the beginning of the year, watch more films this year, watch more movies. And there's so much stuff that I missed. And for someone like me who grew up, family owning a video store and, you know, watching a lot of movies, what movies was my thing, you know, back in the day. It's just something I'd gotten away from. So I'm trying to make good on that. And I haven't stuck to my goal of watching a movie every week just because there's really not enough time in the world to do all the things I want to do. But definitely watch that one with the wife and kids. It's really good. Highly recommend it. And go check it out for sure. So that's kind of my end of my recommendations. I'm going to end the show with, and I know that there's some people that listen to the show that don't like wrestling. So I'm ending with the wrestling talk, even though I did kind of, you know, venture into it earlier. So, guys, girls, girl guys, WWE WrestleMania 40 was incredible. It was absolutely everything I wanted. I was trying to think, is there something that I wished that would have happened that didn't happen? And I just don't think that there is. I don't think that... I don't know that it could have been better, like, than it was. I just think it was really good. I think that the special appearances that happened, the match outcomes were really good. I think that, you know, the stories that were being told, the quality of the matches, everything was really good. There was a stinker in there. There's always a stinker in there, but it did what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to be a spot match. It was supposed to highlight some things that were, you know, important to the area. It was held in Philadelphia. I think that, you know, Roman Reigns and The Rock teaming up against Cody and Seth Rollins was really freaking cool. Way cooler than I expected. Seeing The Rock in there, being The Rock, just talking smack. And just doing what The Rock does best. Yeah, the heel Rock is the best Rock. And man, I'm telling you, it was fun. It was a really good time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought that was a great match. You know, as far as night one goes, I think that the women's match starting things off, Rhea Ripley, you know, winning the champ or retaining the championship was really good. I think that the damage control match versus the Naomi and Jade and Bianca Belair. That was, I understand what they're doing, you know, and they drove the point home on the press conference all about representation, all that stuff. We wanted more minority women in, you know, that's fine. That's all well and good. I'm glad that it exists. I didn't care for the match. I didn't think it was terrible. I think that the women that they were wrestling against were much better performers than the people that won. But you can't win them all. So it was decent. So if I had to pick a stinker for night one, that was probably my pick for night one. I think that everything else really, really did deliver pretty well. And my kids and I really enjoyed it. And even then, that match wasn't bad. You know, it's like to pick one that's worse than the others. It sounds bad, but it's just like, hey, it wasn't. It was still good. Yeah, still a good match. They did a good job. Seeing Triple H out there, of course, opening up the show was awesome. Stephanie opening up the second night was awesome. That was really cool. I think as far as night two goes, the stinker of the night was the match with, well, first off, Snoop Dogg was just annoying. I don't find him entertaining. Never have. I never even liked his music really. So there's that, but it's just kind of like one of those things where I'm like, dude, this is stupid. This is, you know, he's out here doing his thing and that's fine. But I wasn't feeling it. And, it's him on commentary. He talked way too much. He made really stupid jokes. Like it was annoying. That whole match between, you know, Karrion Kross and his group versus Bobby Lashley and his group, you know, them reenacting the Dudley Boy stuff for being in Philadelphia, that was all fine. Like that was the caricature match. You know what I'm saying? Like that was this is here for comic relief. This is here to give a pop to the Philadelphia crowd. You know, it's kind of whatever that, to me. That was the stinky match. It was like, and even then, it wasn't terrible. And they did some neat stuff. You know, Carmelo is such an incredible wrestler and an incredible talent. So some of his spots were really cool. But I don't like the Street Profits. I don't care for Bobby Lashley, even though he's obviously got the secret to. He's got the secret sauce in life, man. That dude doesn't age. It's crazy. But I just don't care about their characters. I don't care about what they're doing. I don't care about Karrion Kross. Like the dude has been he's just so boring. He's just lame. And then having the two brothers, you know, I don't even remember their names anymore, but they went away for a while, coming back and teaming up with Karrion Kross, whatever. Like, that's cool. But, like, again, just it just overall kind of they're all just kind of that was a match of boring wrestlers. Just not my thing. Not for me. So good for them for showing up and at least trying, I guess is the best way to put it. So that didn't do anything for me. Bubba Ray as the special referee, he didn't do anything cool. You know, he just was there. He did his little taunts for you know, getting the tables, whatever. It's whatever. But again, pointing those two out as the stinkers for night one and night two, it wasn't terrible. But, you know, it's WrestleMania. They always have some matches like that. You know, to point out some highlights, to not just go over every single match, point some highlights. You know, Miz and R-Truth winning tag team gold finally. That whole spot was comic relief and really good. DIY coming out with a DX entrance was freaking cool and awesome. R-Truth has just been really, really funny. And, you know, him and the Miz being champs together, this is really cool. We'll see what happens. You know, on top of, you know, just some of the other talent in the ring, it was a good match. It was a good ladder match. You know, the A-Town, and it was Austin Aries and Grayson Waller winning the belts. You know, you're going to have a comical, you know, heel team rocking some belts. That's pretty cool. So overall, I was very, very happy with that whole, you know, that whole deal, that whole match. Outside of, you know, the stinkers, everything else was really, really great, you know, so definitely freaking feeling it, man. Really, really digging what all they were doing out there. The women's matches on both nights were pretty good. Bayley winning the championship was awesome. Drew McIntyre winning the championship was awesome. You know, the whole attack, him taunting and terrorizing CM Punk was awesome. And of course, him and Seth put on a cool match, lots of power moves. You know, it was a kickout fest for sure. But him taunting, terrorizing CM Punk has just been so good. And then, you know, Damian Priest coming and cashing out the Money in the Bank to become the champion. That was freaking awesome. That was cool. That's exactly what I wanted to happen. I wanted Drew to get the belt, but I wanted him to lose it. He'll feud with CM Punk. This is better than a championship, you know. Like those two just feuding, it's so good. I think it's good for both characters. And CM Punk attacking him, snapping, attacking him, and then Damian Priest cashing in. That was good. That was good storytelling. Everything about it worked for me, and I quite enjoyed it. And I you guys know I hate CM Punk. I can't stand CM Punk. But seeing this happen, it's like, yeah, this is exactly, you know, this is how it's supposed to be. This is a good way to work him, put Drew over, put him over. Damian gets the belt. Now we get to go through this whole thing. So that was really cool. I think that all of the championship matches were great. I think that Logan Paul retaining wasn't my choice, but they put on a really good match between him, Randy, and Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens and Randy working together in the beginning was really funny. That was really cool. That weirdo in the Prime outfit barking at Randy Orton was, I just think that's stupid. I thought that. That's the part of wrestling that sometimes makes me go, this is dumb. But Randy Orton giving him the RKO through the table after barking back at him to mock him was pretty funny. But again, that's the kind of stuff that I'm just like, this is stupid. That my kids loved it. They thought it was great. So I was like, you know what? We'll go with it. Not everything's for me, and that's okay. So just kind of went with it. But, you know. It is what it is. So, and then getting down to the main championship, you know what I'm saying? The main match, the reason we're all there for Cody to finish the story. Man, it was really good. It was really freaking good. And I was thrilled with it. It was Bloodline Rules because Rock and Roman won night one. I do want to point out real quick before I get too far in that one. AJ Styles taking the L for LA Knight was good. LA Knight, they need to maintain his They need to maintain his momentum, dude, and giving him, he's got the Slim Jim deal going. He's getting some shine, but I hope that him and I hope he feuds with Damian over that belt and gives him a title shot. Let those two go at it. He's a good talker. I think that'd be good for Damian. I think that AJ needs to be in the run against Cody Rhodes at some point in time. I think that AJ is just too freaking good to not be in the main event. But it's not about AJ. He's just there doing the bad guy stuff to put the other guys over. So getting into the main match, it was great seeing The Rock. It was great him working with freaking Roman on this whole thing. Everything about it worked. I thought that The Rock did a really good job for not wrestling for nearly 9 years to get back in the ring and take bumps and do everything. It was awesome. I think that it really did build up an excellent, this whole final boss gimmick is so good. And it really did set the stakes really high for night two. Cody had to win. Like, it was no question in my mind Cody was going to win. It was all about the how. How does he win? How does he finally finish the story? It was freaking awesome. Just the way it all panned out, the way everything just, you know, the special guest appearances. Of course, Jimmy getting involved right as Roman's nearly beat. And then Jay coming out. Jay and Jimmy put on a really great match, too. Just that super kick fest was just awesome. And then, you know, spear tackling him off the stage through the tables was cool. Solo came in. The spike spear combo was awesome. And I really did believe that was it. Like, when he did the spike spear combo, guys, I was like, they're not going to finish the story. They're not going to do it. Like, this is it, dude. This is freaking crazy. They're not going to do it. They're not. I couldn't believe it. In my mind, they were just going to let it be that Roman was going to stay champion. And when he kicked out, I was like, okay, when he kicked out of the spear spike combo, this is it. This is where it goes. The Rock comes down, the final boss, he gets involved. The Undertaker shows up. I couldn't believe that was like a random, like, what? Undertaker shows up, he choke slams freaking Rock. Like, that was so cool. I was like, man, I didn't see that coming. I expected Stone Cold, really. I expected Stone Cold to get involved. I expected Sammy and guys that have been, you know, I expected, honestly, freaking LA Knight, like guys that have been screwed over in this deal, even Drew McIntyre, guys who lost because of the bloodline interference. I did not expect freaking Undertaker to show up at WrestleMania, which, you know, that's obviously a bigger deal than the other guys, but it was just crazy. It was like, oh, that's really freaking cool. So I enjoyed it, man. It was neat. It's a good match. Cody wins. They hoist him up on their shoulders. You know, he's the guy now. And we're off to the races, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. I watched the post wrestling press conferences, just the hearing about his dad, you know, the fact that Triple H is like, the best part about this whole thing is it's been 100% real. Like, his story was a real story. This all really worked out the way that it did. And him becoming the champion, this is 100% like this just naturally unfolded, and they were just they knew what they were doing, and it was good. It was really freaking good. So I am very happy with it, guys. I'm very happy with the way it went, and I couldn't have picked a better way for it to work. So for me, it was an A+ of a show. I think that, I don't know, again, aside from Stone Cold showing up and getting involved, like Seth Rollins came out in his Shield gear with his Shield, you know, stuff, and just, it was good, man. Everything about it was freaking good. Yeah, we didn't have any surprise, like, superstars from other companies or people that we didn't expect to show up. So that would have been, I guess, what I was looking for. Not that it really matters, because I don't need that, but I did expect it. I did expect that to be kind of what we got. And when we didn't, I was like, oh, cool. You know, we're doing homegrown talent, and That's what it's going to be. So it was good. It was an excellent pay-per-view, guys. I just think that, you know, I could have done any better. I'm super happy. I'm super excited to see what happens with Raw. As far as predictions go, I don't have any clue who Cody's going to feud with. If it was me, I would make Roman go away. You know, maybe The Rock and Cody feud for a while. You know, I mean, you don't hold the title for 4 years and not get a rematch. So maybe Roman gets his rematch. Maybe this, you know, continues on for a while. The Bloodline story had been really, really good. Roman Reigns stale. Roman Reigns sucks. Like, I've never liked Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns and the Wise Man, Paul Heyman, excellent. Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, all his family, even better. Roman Reigns by himself, I just don't care for it. I just don't think it's good. I don't think he's good. I've never liked him. I've never been interested in anything he did. I've always thought he was the worst part of everything that he was a part of. This worked. It took a while. I wasn't on board for a long time. I didn't come around until Sammy and Jay really started to become super elevated. And it's like, at this point, Roman just is there to hold the title while we build these other superstars. Roman can go away now. Jay is on fire. Cody Rhodes is the king of the mountain. You know, Sami Zayn has got just this build up. It's incredible. You know, it's just like everyone else is in a good spot. And ultimately, I guess that's really what you got to do to get everyone over, is you kind of had to sacrifice having, freaking championship matches. Like, it sounds crazy, but that's essentially what happened, is we sacrificed having championship matches to get all these other guys over. Now they're over. I want to see what they do with it. So I don't have a clue. I hope some new blood comes in, you know, maybe, I don't even know. Maybe someone from another company comes in. Maybe they don't. I don't care if they bring anybody. There's really nobody else I want. You know, like, I think everyone who's in WWE is who I want in WWE. I just want them to use them. I want AJ Styles to have a more prominent role. I want LA Knight to get a run at a championship. I think that grudge matches are cool and you got to have them, but we've got, you know, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre grudge match now. We don't need, you know, and maybe him and AJ Styles have a few more matches back and forth to really solidify everything. I don't know, but I think it's good. I think we're in a good spot. And I think that wrestling is on fire right now, guys. And if you're maybe you're a lapsed wrestling fan, maybe you haven't watched wrestling in a while and you're like, I don't know, I haven't really been into it. Now is the time. Netflix just scooped them up. So in the next year, WWE is going to be on Netflix, which sucks because I hate Netflix, but as a company, I hate Netflix, but you know, it is what it is. That's where I'm going to have to be to watch it. So I'm very much behind on Raw, SmackDown, and stuff like that. I have to watch highlights because I don't have cable. So I'm hoping that I'll get the network programming, you know, maybe sooner than the 30-day window we have now. Because typically by the time you get the episodes, the pay-per-views have already happened, the resolutions have already happened, so there's no point in watching it. So we'll see kind of where that goes. But I am super excited to see kind of what we end up with. And I don't know, man. I don't know. It's going to be good. I think, you know, from hearing all the promises and all the stuff that they were saying in the press conference, we've got a new era. It doesn't have a name yet. They're calling it the Triple H era, which I think is fitting. Triple H being one of my all-time favorites. But him and the head of creative, and just seeing what we're getting out of that and what he did with NXT originally, man, I'm telling you guys, this is it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. There's great programming. We got AEW, we got WWE, we got so many wrestling shows. You got TNA, you got NWA. I watch that on YouTube. You got GCW. You know, the independent scene is thriving. Like, wrestling is hot and on fire right now. So it's definitely a time to get in and just be entertained. Enjoy yourself. It's fun. Wrestling is fun. And we don't have clowns dancing. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, you know, and it's owned by the same people that own UFC now. So it's just like, I think things are going to get more. I think we're going to get, they're going to get more combative. I think it's going to get more crazy. And I think the physicality is going to go up. I think that Triple H being the man being in charge, The Rock being on the board of directors, like these are the best of the best. And now they're running the show. I just think that we're getting ready to see a level of professional wrestling and storytelling and TV that we've never experienced before. And it is the best time to jump in. So I highly recommend it, guys. Go check it out. It's just, you know, the pay-per-view is awesome. WrestleMania was awesome. I recommend watching it. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be all over social media. It's going to be all over all the talk shows, Pat McAfee show, the Today show, Tonight show, all that stuff. It's all happening. WrestleMania is going to be everywhere this week, and it's as big, it's bigger than it's ever been. So definitely go check it out, guys. All that being said, thank you so much for listening to me jabber my jaws. Thank you for being patient with me as I went on vacation for spring break. I'm going to have multiple episodes dropping in and out of the Patreon this week, guys. Go check out Resident Daryl's YouTube. Go spend some time with our friends over at these other podcasts, because God knows they need you. Thank you guys for everything. This has been the Loot Bros Podcast. Always remember, anime is for pervs. By the way, guys, all of the songs found at the end of each and every podcast can be found on Spotify under the band name Ninja Loot, NINJALOOT. That is my band, Ninja Loot. All these songs that I put at the end of the podcast, I've been uploading over there, and I'm going to be adding more. So even the rap rock stuff that I did from Georgia Red, the theme song for the Loot Bros Podcast, all that stuff there on Spotify. If you're into it, go enjoy it.